as thousands are coming down the aisle, let's assemble ourselves for the study and the worship of God. Oh. Okay. All right. Let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. And Webb, you're going to, if you don't mind, James Webb, you're going to lead us in some Christmas songs. Oh, did you? All right. I haven't seen he or his wife yet. Let's see. Brian Cooper, are you here, sir? Okay. All right, let's begin with the word of prayer and orient ourselves as to where we are and why we're here. So let's begin with prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, every day is the same throughout the church age. There is no special day. You set aside the Sabbath. You institutionalized that for the nation of Israel. But in the church age, for members of the body of Christ or in every nation in the world, we have no special day. Every day we are to live the same. Every day is a day to study your word. Every day is a day to sing praise. Every day is a day to remember the incarnation of God to the human race, the birth of Jesus Christ. Every day is a day to reflect on the story of the resurrection, the crucifixion and resurrection, our eternal redemption. Every day is a day of worship. Every day is a day of praise. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. Every day is a day to open your word. But it is the nature of man throughout history, the way you made us, special days. Before the law, and of course in the law, and in the church, we have special days. We're in a season now, Father, where we're celebrating the incarnation, God becoming man, a demonstration of your love. It's a very important time, Father, for all of us. And we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I see Brian back here. Okay, Brian, there you are. Well, I thought you were here. All right. My goodness, nice coat and everything. Next, before you know it, you'll be wearing a tie. That'll be something. Come on up and lead us in some songs, some Christmas songs. Thank you.
one bag, number 86. Let's sing the first and last verse that it came upon the midnight appeared.
Do any of you know who Garrison Keillor is? Any of you listened to him last night? It was so funny. And you got to know him. He tells stories. Those of you that may not know, he's on national radio. And I even have some tapes and stuff by him. But last night he was telling, and Wuberton, and they were going around caroling. but they made a mistake. What they did, they would take a drink at this house, and then they took a drink at this. He said, by the time they got halfway through, they couldn't remember any of the carols, the Christmas carols, so they started humming them. I mean, he just went on and on and on. It was so perfect. So you don't want to stop at these homes when you go caroling and nip a little bit. But you might forget the carols that you're supposed to be singing. Okay, let's talk about, first of all, the schedule. Now, this afternoon from 5 to 7 or 8, whatever, no time on that. Judith and I are having people just come over. You want to drop in? And it turned into where I just thought we'd have a little punch. But now we got some little sandwiches and we got this. And all of you are welcome to drop in from 4:30 on. And we're just flexible. And 5, 4:35. Well, some are going to come at 4:30, I know. And just you're welcome to come by and just enjoy some fellowship and conversation. So from around 4:35 to around 7:30, whatever. So that's first thing. And then Wednesday night we'll have our regular class. Now next Sunday morning, of course, is Christmas Sunday. Happens once every 7 years. We will not have the 9:15 class. We will have the 10:30 study and service. And then we will have the following Wednesday. And then the following Sunday is New Year's Eve. First of all, New Year's Eve. We will have our New Year's Eve service at 7 o'clock. Used to be at 9 to midnight. But things just have changed. I don't know if it's my age or what, but we're now do it from 7 to 9, and we'll have fellowship time together, so bring some finger food, and we'll have communion that night. And then Sunday the 1st of January, we will not have the 9:15 class, but we will have the 10:30 study. And so this is the schedule. Any question on things from right now through the January 1st, Sunday the 1st? Okay, so that's the schedule there. Now let's talk about the prayer list. And I love it. Just starting with Thomas and just doing it. Thomas, how you doing? Good. All right. I like that. It's just getting a good way. Just good. And healthy and all that, doing things. Good. All right. I tell you what, we're going to be studying a miracle this morning. The miracle of the birth of Jesus Christ. But people, Thomas is a miracle to me. What God has done in this young man's life, and I'm sure Rick and Terry agree, and we didn't know what was going to happen when he was in ICU for so long, but just out and about now, and just so thankful to God for that wonderful miracle. And yes. No. Really? Wow. Hey, can you get me in? I'm your preacher. Give me a front row seat. Wow, that is super. Who picked him? Wow. Wow, very good. That's good, Thomas. No, thank you. My goodness, all right. let's see, what time is that game? 1:30. You could still come to church. Okay, that is wonderful, Thomas. And I don't like the word deserving, but most deserving. And that's just so super. Let's talk about some other ones. Now, what did your doctor say, Tish, about your cancer and all?
Well, I had to reschedule the doctor's appointment, but I got a report. And the only thing I could see on the report was that there's no melanoma.
No melanoma. So it's gone. Good. That's the answer to prayer. That's wonderful. All right. And how's Johnny doing? Good? All right. And he'll come home from the hospital
Thursday.
That'll be wonderful. And the surgery and everything was fine? Good. Okay. That's very, very good. And Johnny's daughter and granddaughter are here visiting us. So, and y'all are from
California.
California. Okay. And so glad to have you here. All right. Let's see. Tana, how's your brother? Very good. How's your mother? Good. Very good. Okay, let's see now. Yes?
Someone asked me to give a report on Alyssa.
Yes.
My sister's daughter. Yes.
Yes.
About a year, 2 years ago.
Yes.
She had a new boyfriend. She got a job. She's been at the job, so I guess they're on time.
I was going to ask you, did she keep the job? That's great. Hey, that's wonderful. Wow. Wow. Very good. Now we'll just pray that the Holy Spirit can move in and make it a spiritual turnaround. That's wonderful. Thank you. Good. Yes?
Well, on a different note, we got a Christmas card from someone that's a paper, I guess. Listen.
Used to.
Okay.
Yeah. And she is how old?
Just shy of 21.
Just right.
So, just praying for her grandparents.
Parents.
I mean, they're just in shock.
Yeah.
Because it happened so quickly. So we realized more and more when I read that with Tom, and I thought, wow, we truly have seen a miracle.
Yeah. My memory of Megan, the girl that she's talking about that came down with leukemia, when she was a young girl, they got me to go to one of her basketball games, and I embarrassed her to no end. And but she handled it okay. And but she's home with the Lord, and unexpectedly. That's why I just say, Thomas, you're just a wonderful miracle. Any other prayer requests or knowledge? Yes.
An update of Thanksgiving for my mom.
Okay. Wonderful.
And I talked to her a couple days ago, and she said, God has an amazing plan that he took me to the point of death in order to give me back my life.
Wow.
She is.
What a beautiful statement.
Completely 180 from where she was.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, God, for that.
Yep. That's so wonderful that she's been clean that long. That's really good. Good.
Yeah. Kill her if she drinks and takes asbestos, they
thought
he'll kill her.
Wow.
So the doc said, I'm not taking you off.
Good. Good. Very good. Tyson, what is the update on the friend of the church?
Good days and bad days. We need to have some tests this week.
Okay. Well, let's just continue to be in prayer daily, and for Thomas and for the friend of the church and Chris Daig's mother. Yes. Oh, Cameron.
I have a Thanksgiving for Grayson. As all y'all know Grayson. He comes every now and then.
Yes. Ooh. Oh, wow.
I mean, Grayson's one of those guys that, like, he shows up to church and listens to, but he doesn't really express it that much. But he's just putting on Facebook and he's
Dynamite. Outstanding. Outstanding. That's great. Thank you. Good. All right. Tell him we talked about him and then pray for him. All right. Any others that we need to make aware? We have been in prayer occasionally for a member of John Hintz's church in Tucson Bible Church, Tucson, John Haig. John Hintz was telling me yesterday they don't even know if he'll make it through this next week. And so please be in prayer for John Haig. Just a wonderful, wonderful guy, and his wife. And so just be in prayer for him, God's plan for his body, for his life. And please be in prayer for John's church at this time, because he's right in the middle of the fellowship and the assembly of the church. So please bear in mind. Yes? Oh, my goodness. I hope that you all got on your email, copy of the Risley letter. And they found 7 people within a mile and a half of their house decapitated. And it's now moved to where it's not just the legal or people involved directly with the drugs and all. It's just they're hitting people that may have seen something, or they don't even know why. Some of these people are being killed. They used to, and they asked for a special prayer for their daughter, Courtney, who is a doctor. Because what they would used to do, they being the drug organization, the cartels and things, when one of their people would be shot, they'd go kidnap a doctor. Doctor would come in, take care of the person, they'd let the doctor go. Now what they're doing is killing the doctors. I mean, how dumb is that? How dumb is that? But nevertheless, they're doing it. So they're concerned about Courtney being kidnapped and then executed. If you read the letter, you read that Grady, of course, this is Grady. Grady said, we didn't come to Mexico to be protected. And so the dad's, well, so much for sympathy or for concern about him. And but do be in prayer for the Risleys and at this time. And any other prayer, request, or anything in that respect. Okay, the Word of God. Yes.
Can I just offer thanks to everybody that brings this
to you? Yeah, it does.
You know, they take time to do it, and I don't know exactly who it is. I have to do it.
Several people have their hands on it. I moved it this morning. Did I get a little? No, it is beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, I agree. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. Now, the gracious giver is defined as one who has personally accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but also understands how to be filled with the Spirit and give in wisdom. Wisdom is part of our whole area of all of our aspects of our life, is having wisdom. The reason I'm bringing this up is in our 9:15 study in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, Christ came to us wisdom from God. And wisdom is directly related how we live our daily life. That's wisdom. You have knowledge and understanding, but wisdom is living our daily life. It's daily decisions that we make socially, that we make morally, that we make financially, that we make in our family, that we make spiritually. This is wisdom. And this is a time of the year when you really need wisdom. And just in the area of finance, do I really need to spend this money and then pay for it January, February, March, and be aggravated, stressed out, all of that? That's not wise. It's going to be use wisdom. And one of the main areas of wisdom is in the financial area of our life. A lot of believers put a lot of pressure on themselves financially. Buy a house they shouldn't buy, a car they shouldn't buy, this, that, and all this type of thing. You want to use wisdom in the area of giving. Wisdom as to whom you give to. Got to be very careful. And the wisdom of how much, and all these kinds of things are involved in the area of giving and the leading of the Holy Spirit. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you made a sovereign decision to utilize this humble assembly in so many different ways. Our home fellowship here, the spreading of the messages through the internet, our young people, missionaries, so many ways, Father. And as we close out another year, as we calculate time, we just continue to present ourselves to you and pray that you will use us in 2012. That you will increase our influence of the teaching of the Word of God on the internet or the issuing of disc, tapes, even bringing people here. That you will increase our influence in dealing with the young people, giving the gospel to more and more, giving them the importance of now growing the Word, making Christ the issue in their life. Our missionary outreach. Father, we just put our cup out, put ourselves there to be used as you see fit. We thank you for this year. You've taken care of our financial problems when they were pretty dim. You give us enough each month to get these things done. And Father, we just pray now that in this new year, you will continue in your faithfulness and continue to use us. So Father, we pray that you'll receive these offerings that we're about to give, that you will use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wes Tuttle. Thank you, Mr. James Webb. Thank you, Judith Maddox. I'm just very happy what's happening in the area of music. Wes Tuttle's been bearing the brunt for years, and then Brian Cooper came and leads us in our congregational singing. Thankful for that. Then James Webb for our specials, and Judith, whom I've been trying to get to sing for over 2 or 3 years, and she finally is singing. And I made a statement last week that I know that others of you can sing or play something besides spoons. And I found out last Sunday afternoon that Brian St. Clair used to sing and play a guitar, lead guitar. And by the way, he's got some good news. Tell us what happened. You
got a job.
Got a job. All right. All right. Jennifer's happy about that. But that's really great. And I'm not going to say you owe the Lord to sing for us. I'm not going to say that. I don't teach that. I don't teach that way. But you got to come up and sing some. That's fine. That's fine. And I'll get you some Hank Williams gospels. And bring a guitar, come up and sing. And others of you, if you sing or play an instrument or something, please do it for the Lord. Not just in your own shower. Do it for the Lord. Okay? And let us worship with you. Okay. And I'm serious about that. If you sing and that, please. They won't let me. I don't understand that. I asked them if we could make it a trio, and they kind of said, well, I think the two of us are good. And I kind of got the hint. But okay, let's begin this morning in our study with a word of prayer. And I got some things before we turn to a passage, so let's begin with a word of prayer, because the Holy Spirit is the teacher of this book. Let's pray. Now, Father, there are so many events recorded in this book. But no two are more important than the sending of your Son into the human race, the incarnation of the God-man, and the crucifixion, resurrection of Jesus Christ our Savior. For in these two sendings, these two events, we have our salvation, our redemption, our eternal security, and our strength and purpose for living each day. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see this morning, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, what we're going to do this Christmas, and I'll just tell you, I'll be honest, I'm embarrassed. 37 years it took me to do this. If I were talking to a young pastor, I would say do it your very first Christmas. And I mean your first one. What we're going to do is we're going to look at the chronology of the birth of Christ. We all know different things about it, but having it down the chronology and when these things took place, I believe is important. And we got to go to two different books to do it, back and forth, to get this chronology down. So I think more people today know more about Santa Claus than they do Jesus Christ, the true meaning of Christmas. I dare say most people know that Santa Claus is from the North Pole. I wonder how many know where Jesus Christ is right now, where he is right this minute. Now, the true meaning of Christmas is known only in the Bible, only in this book, not in the Quran, not in any other book, this book, where we have the true story, understanding, and meaning of Christmas. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to go through this chronologically. But the first thing I want to do, I want to give you four or five six introductory points. Not big, but just introductory to grasp the Christmas story. The first one. Understanding the momentum of the four Gospels helps in working our way through the birth of Christ. So Matthew emphasizes Jesus as king all the way through. Mark emphasizes Jesus Christ as the servant of God. Luke emphasizes the humanity of Jesus Christ. He's a doctor. He emphasizes the humanity of Jesus Christ. John emphasizes the deity of Jesus Christ. So right up front we have some paradox. You know what a paradox is? We have paradox. First of all, God-man in one person. That's a paradox. Secondly, king-servant. That's a paradox. These are the things that Jesus Christ is. Now, point two. Mark begins his story of Jesus at the baptism of Jesus Christ, omitting the Christmas story, what we consider the Christmas story, the birth. John tells of the entrance of Jesus Christ into the human race, not by a newly born baby, but as the coming of the light of the world. In my opinion, John is the most, is the truest and the real, because it goes back to Genesis 1, where God said, "Let there be light." And John has the light coming into the world. But with this in mind of Mark, beginning at the baptism, John dealing with Jesus Christ as the light of the world coming into the world, so we're combined to Matthew and Luke for the chronology of the birth of Jesus Christ. With that in mind, point three. Matthew begins the biblical story of Jesus Christ with the development of his genealogy in chapter 1. Luke also includes a genealogy in chapter 3. But these are much different. These are much different. Now I want you to open your Bible, if you will, to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Now let me see if you're listening. Matthew emphasizes Jesus Christ as what? King. Okay? King of Israel. So let's take a look at his genealogy. Matthew begins with Abraham. Matthew chapter 1 verse 2. To Abraham was born Isaac, and to Isaac Jacob, and Jacob Judah, and his brothers, and so forth, and on down the line. And he ends in verse 16 with Jesus Christ. And to Jacob was born Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all those verses in there deal with the genealogy of Jesus Christ as a rightful heir to the throne of David. Now Luke emphasizes the what of Jesus Christ is humanity. All right, let's take a look at Luke chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 3. What does he give us with his genealogy? Chapter 3. He's going to go back and take it down to Adam. Look at 3:23. 3:23. Luke chapter 3, verse 23. And when he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being supposedly the son of Joseph, the son of Eli, and on and on and on. And now look at verse 38. And the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. So what I'm showing you here is Matthew, looking at Jesus Christ as king, takes his genealogy in the Jewish genealogy. Luke, as the son of man, servant of man, dealing with mankind as humanity, he takes him back to Adam. So showing that Jesus Christ is true humanity. So Luke traces Jesus Christ back to the beginning of mankind, Adam. Luke dealing with the humanity. Matthew again looks at him as king, so he covers his Jewish genealogy. All right, point four. Any questions on that? Point four. Matthew gives his report from the perspective of Joseph. Matthew gives his perspective of the birth of Jesus from the standpoint of Joseph, the legal or royal line of Jesus Christ as King of the Jews. Luke covers the birth of Jesus Christ from the perspective of Mary, the physical line. Remember, Luke is a doctor. Five, Matthew deals with the public record of the birth of Christ. Luke, as we'll see, deals with the private. And six, Matthew begins the story of Jesus Christ with his birth in Bethlehem, chapter 2, verse 1, after going through the genealogy. But Luke begins his account of the birth of Christ with the birth of the forerunner, John the Baptist. And so we will begin now our chronology, the event by event of the birth of Jesus Christ. And Roman numeral 1 in chronology, the announcement of the birth of John, the forerunner of Christ, the herald of Christ. Yes. Matthew begins the story of Jesus Christ with his birth in Bethlehem. 2:1. Thank you. Luke begins account with the birth of the forerunner, John the Baptist, John the Voice, John the Herald. So, under chronology, Roman numeral 1, the announcement of the birth of John, the herald or the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Now, let me just talk with you. All of this is prophetic. And we'll look at that. Jesus Christ is coming, but before he comes, he's going to have a forerunner. Somebody's going to come and announce him and prepare the way for him. So John either has to be born, you know, before, or at least at the same time as Jesus Christ. So to truly understand the Christmas story, we have to start with the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And this is going to take us to a priest, an old man, a priest, name Zacharias. Zacharias, Z-A-C-H-R-I-A-S, Zacharias, and his elderly wife Elizabeth. And I point out their age because that will be important. To these will be announced by an angel, and we have his name, Gabriel. The angel's name is Gabriel. He will come to Zacharias and announce the birth of a son. Not only that, he says, you've got to name him this name. You want to name him John. And lo and behold, the woman passed the age of childbearing, became pregnant, and she actually, we'll see in a moment, remained hidden for 5 months. Zacharias was priest at the time of Jesus Christ's birth, not the high priest, just a priest. His name, Zacharias, beautiful name for what's going on in history. Jehovah has remembered. That's what Zacharias means. Now, when we read through Zacharias' account, you're going to find him a little startled. But I want you to understand something. It's been over 400 years since God has spoken to anyone in Israel directly. Over 400 years. Now, they're all looking for the coming Messiah. But God's been silent. So here's this man's name in the foothills of Judah. We don't know the exact town. Many people think it's Hebron. Zacharias, God has remembered. Jehovah has remembered. His wife's name is also indicative. Her name is Elizabeth, God of the covenant. Put them together. God has remembered his covenant to Israel, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, before we read this first account, first event recorded by Luke, please remember, God, and I just said this, God has not spoken since the days of Malachi, some 400 years of silence, and they're looking for the Messiah, but just, I want you to, as you read these things, don't think of these people as somebody way up here, you know, when they walk 3 inches above the ground. They're just like us. They're just like you. And understand these things. So, here he is. You're an old priest. Not a high priest, just a priest among priests, among a thousand of them. And your wife, both you and your wife, are well beyond years. So, for point one in chronology, let's look at Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. And let's read this account together. Now, let me just say, if you're a note taker, if you want to, maybe I'm going to make some comments as we go through. On your piece of paper, just put out verse 1 and write your comment. And then, if you're serious, you can go back and straighten it all out and maybe put it in the Bible. That'll be the best way that you'll be able to cover if you're interested in any of the things we point out. Okay. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judah. Now, Herod died in 4 B.C., there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abia. Now, just for your information, of the division, this is the 8th order of service, and that Zacharias was a physical, it also lets us know he's a physical descendant of Aaron in the tribe of Levi. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron. So she is in the Levitical priesthood tribe. And her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. This is both imputed righteousness by faith and living righteousness by the Holy Spirit. And we know that, as I'll show you when we go along. Sanctified. Point 7, so we've introduced to him, got a little information about him. Verse 7, and they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now, being barren today may or may not be that important to us, but in this time, in the period of history of Israel, this was a bitter sorrow throughout all the history of Israel. If you were a woman and had not given birth, that was a sorrowful, bitter sorrow, and to the women. And that's why Samson's mother was barren. And now we have John's mother is barren. Now the Lord's mother is barren also, but she's just a young girl. But we have these two older women in history that are very old and barren. So this sets up the scene for what's about to happen. Verse 5. Now, verse 7, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. Now, verse 8, by the way, just reading through this, I'm not going to go into any great detail. I did a lot of work on all these verses, but I would never get through in any reasonable time. But if as I'm reading you have a question, please raise your hand. This is just, we're family. And we're just going through the chronology of the birth of Christ. You have a question about a verse or a point, raise your hand. Don't be afraid to do that. All right, verse 8. Now, it came about while he, Zacharias, was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed time and the appointed order of his division. So he's got to go back to Jerusalem. According to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. People, there are no accidents in the plan of God. It says by lot. But there are no accidents in the plan of God. We're looking at divine providence in our study in John 17. Here's divine providence. You think it's any accident the lot fell on Zacharias? No. He's just an older man, an old priest, been doing this all his life. Comes down from his home. We don't know how far away from Jerusalem. stays about a week or a little less and does his service, and then he goes back home. So the law, they can't, who's going to go burn the incense? And it fell on him. Okay, verse 10. And the whole multitude of people were in prayer outside at the hour of incense burning. It's believed that's around 9 o'clock in the morning. Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. Okay. Let me just first of all say, nowhere in all the Bible do we have so many appearances of angels as we're going to have at the Savior's birth. It's just remarkable. God becoming man, entering into the world. And you want to remember that the birth, crucifixion of Jesus Christ is vitally important in the spiritual, in the angelic realm. The angelic conflict. And they're greatly involved in this. And nowhere else do we have as many. Angels announce the coming of his forerunner. Angels announce his coming. Angels proclaim his birth. Angels rejoice at his appearing. Angels are directly involved with what God is doing in history at this point. And very quickly, just so you'll know, he's standing at the right of the altar. Traditionally, we don't have this in Scripture. The right of the altar was reserved for God. Think about that. You're an old man. You know the right of the altar is reserved for God. And you hear a voice and you see an angel standing there. And what do you know from Scripture? Whoever sees God dies. So all this is going on. Verse 12. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear gripped him. And why not? The right of the altar is reserved for God. Anyone who saw God would die. And other people have been gripped when these things happen to them. Daniel, Moses at the burning bush, John on the island of Patmos. I don't know about you, but I think I'd be a little fearful if an angel came. Verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias," calls him by name, "for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." Let me give you a principle. Delay in the answering of God of our prayers is up to the grace plan of God. So when you pray, do not think just because God didn't answer it according to your time schedule that God is not going to answer your prayer. I'm not saying he always will come through, but I'm just saying, don't you count time. Time to God is nothing. Time to us is everything. Continue verse 13. Look what he says. And you will give him the name John. This is specific. Not just you're going to have a son, you name him John. And John means the grace of God. God is gracious. It's interesting that in various cases throughout the Bible, God himself or Jesus Christ specifically names or gives a name, as in this case. The parents of the forerunner of Jesus Christ are told to name this son John. Jehovah is gracious. Verse 14. And you will have joy. You, Zacharias, will have joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at his birth. For admit that the Savior is near. When he puts all this together, he's going to figure it out. Ah, the Savior is near. Very near. And in a little bit, he'll find out who's carrying the Savior. His wife's cousin, Mary. But he's putting all this together. Verse 15. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Parents, here should be your prayer. Not that your child is great in the eyes of man, is successful, has money, is a beautiful girl, all these types of things. That they are great in the eyes of the Lord. That they walk according to his power of the Spirit, according to his word. This is what you want to pray. And this is what you want to train. To me, this is a great statement. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. And people, that can be any of your children. Oh, they may not usher in the King of Kings because he's already come. But just giving out his word, spreading the gospel, living, glorifying Christ, great in the eyes of the Lord. Okay. And he will drink no wine or liquor. He's a Nazarite. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while he is yet in his mother's womb. Incomprehensible. He will not function on human ability, but from supernatural ability right from the beginning. Verse 16. And he, talking about Zechariah's son, John the forerunner of Christ, will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. People, at this time, Israel is in spiritual wilderness. Spiritual bankruptcy. I mean, they're going through all of the rituals and all, but it's all religious ritual. They are bankrupt spiritually. They have nothing as far as the spiritual momentum is concerned. And John is going to turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. Turn them from condemnation to salvation in the Lamb of God. So this is the kind of a story given to Zacharias in regard to his son. Verse 17. And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit of and power of Elijah. Now, those of you that were in our study of Revelation, remember that Elijah is one of the two witnesses that come back in the middle of the tribulation. The spirit of Elijah and the power of Elijah. Power of Elijah is the Holy Spirit. The spirit of Elijah announcing what? The Lord's coming. The Lord is coming. That's Elijah's message. He's coming! Second Advent. Battle of Armageddon. Well, John is going to announce he's coming. First Advent. So you got that relationship between the two. And then it says in verse 17, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to children. In other words, passing back to the children the truth of Scripture, which had been stopped. And the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, back to obedience at his faith, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Okay, now we have an unfortunate event in Zacharias, verse 18, unbelief. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this for certain? I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years. Dash, no way we're going to have children. It's over. What are you talking about? It's over. As a priest, he was waiting for the Messiah, ready for redemption of Israel. He knew about the birth of Isaac and Samson and Samuel. But people want to tell you a little secret. Where reason begins, faith ends. See, he reasoned this out. I'm too old. My wife's too old. It's not going to happen. People, don't let your reason camouflage your faith. Don't let your reason sabotage your faith. Because where your reason takes over, well, it's all over. It's it. This is it. It's over. My life, my health, my finance, the world, America, whatever, it's over. I'll never smile again type thing. Don't do that. Don't let reason end your faith. That's what this old man did for a few moments. Okay, verse 19. And the angel Gabriel, just putting it in there, answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. His name, see that E-L on the end of his name, that means God. God is my strength, or the strength of God. Who stands in the presence of God, that's why I'm standing on the right side of the altar. And I have been sent to speak to you, and to bring you this good news. Zacharias knew this angel, Gabriel, because he came to Daniel. Verse 20. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their proper time. People, let me tell you something. A lot of Christians are concerned about, well, I stole something. I did a body sin, moral sin. I did this, I did that. And these are sins. No doubt about it. But let me tell you something God's concerned with. He's concerned about the sin of unbelief. I feel sorry for people that don't believe in their eternal security. People that don't believe what the Word of God says. If I trust the Holy Spirit, He'll pour in His fruit in me. God is greatly concerned. Not just about our sins that we know about, mental attitude, overt, and sins of the body. He's concerned about unbelief. We do not trust Him. Verse 21. And the people are waiting for, and the people who were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. The people standing outside the temple wondering about him. Now, tradition has it, I don't know if it's true, tradition has it that during the 400 years of silence and at this time, when a priest would go into the Holy of Holies area, they put a rope around him. Because if he were to die in there because he was really unclean, they had to drag him out. And they went that. Well, this is what they're doing. They're wondering, is he going to come out? Is he okay? See, that type of thing. So this is what's going on with them. Verse 22. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. Well, Gabriel just said that. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. Okay, so he's not able to speak. They make signs to them. Verse 23. And it came about, when the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. Now, we don't know where home is for Zacharias and Elizabeth. Some people think it's in the area of Hebron, but anyway, it's in the foothills of Judah. All right, verse 24. And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, indeed became pregnant, just as Gabriel said she would, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months of the first 5 months of her pregnancy, saying, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace from among men, that she had not had any children. Now, the birth of John the Baptist is prophesied in the Old Testament. Let me just give it to you for sake of time. Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice is calling. Actually, I think we should call him John the Voice instead of John the Baptist. But a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. That's Israel. Israel is a spiritual wilderness. Make smooth in the desert, spiritual desert, a highway for our God. Also, Malachi 3:1. The birth of Jesus Christ is saturated with the fulfillment of prophecy. If I was an unbeliever, and I sat down and looked and was convinced that Malachi and Isaiah were written at the dates given to them over 400, 500, 700 years ago, and now they're being fulfilled, I'd have to wonder about this. Something's going on here. This is no accident. So Malachi 3:1, behold, and that means a dramatic event in history is about to be announced. I, Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, I, Jesus Christ, am going to send my messenger, John the Voice, and he will clear the way before me in the wilderness of Israel. And the Lord whom you seek, unfortunately, they sought him and then rejected him when he came, will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant, Jesus Christ, in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ. This brings us to Roman numeral 2, the second event in the birth, in the chronology of the birth of Christ. The announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ to Mary. The announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ to Mary. The first event, the announcement of the birth of the forerunner to Zacharias. Now we come to the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ to Mary. The forerunner is announced. The angel Gabriel now comes to Mary while she is in Nazareth, that she is going to give birth to a son. And he even tells her the name of the son to be Jesus. Now, we'll see this, but this will be during the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth. All right, let's look at Luke 1, 26 through 38 for our second chronological event. Verse 26. Now, in the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth, angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Nazareth means branch or offshoot or watched, guarded. It's people, it's along the western side of the Sea of Galilee. It is gorgeous. The area is gorgeous. And because it is gorgeous, it is just overpopulated with resorts, hotels, all kinds of stuff. You know, man, this is going to be one of the most beautiful spots along the Sea of Galilee. And boy, you know it. As you're driving along, you look at the sea, you look up on the left at the Nazareth, and it's just gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful. There's nothing really there anymore. It's all been built over. But I'll tell you a little secret about Nazareth. It's bad. It's a little Las Vegas. It's a little Las Vegas. There's a Roman garrison about a mile and a half outside of Nazareth. And you know where the Romans are. They want to have fun. Also, this whole area around Galilee is business. There's a saying in the recorded saying that if you want to learn, live in Jerusalem. If you want to get wealthy, live in Galilee. And this is all around the Sea of Galilee. You have agriculture. You have the fishing. You have all kinds of things going on. This is an unbelievable area in the time of Christ. Not only was it beautiful, it was unbelievable. It was just a lot of fun and a lot of that. Now, there were people who were poor, Joseph and Mary. There were people who loved the Lord, Joseph and Mary's family, Joseph's family. So we'll see all of this. I just want to give you a feel of Nazareth. Okay, verse 26. We're going to look at 26 through 38 for the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ to Mary. Now, in the sixth month, pregnancy of Elizabeth, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. All right, so I've told you a little bit about Nazareth. Joseph and Mary were poor. Being poor today is resented by a lot of people, and they want everybody else's money, but not at this time. Verse 27. To a virgin, I hope we all know what a virgin is, engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. His name means Jehovah will increase. That's what Joseph means. Jehovah will increase. Whom Jehovah will add. All right. To a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. Oh, he's poor, but he's rich in his heritage. He's rich in his heritage. And the virgin's name was Mary. Now, I want you to know, virgin is twice reported here, emphasizing the fact that she has not had sexual intercourse. Now, Mary is an interesting name. Mary, as beautiful as that name is, Mary in the Hebrew means contradiction. It means rebellious outcry, bitter complaint. I won't think twice before you name your little daughter Mary. You might have a nervous outcry coming. All right? I'll come back to that as we go through our story. Verse 28. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one." Perfect passive participle, passive voice she receives from the root of charis, grace. Hail, graced one. And means highly honored, highly or greatly favored. And before you get emotional about it all with Mary, you should know that every believer is given this name in Ephesians 1:6. So before you start foaming at the mouth and rolling your eyes, I just want you to know This same word is given of every born-again believer in Ephesians 1:6. Mary is a member of the human race. Regardless of what the Roman Catholic Church says, she has a sin nature. She is in need of a Savior just like everyone else. She will also have children after the birth of Jesus Christ. She and Joseph will enjoy sex together after the birth of Christ. He doesn't bother her or go into her until after the birth of Christ. But Mary is graced by God. We cannot deny that. Blessed by God. This is an honorable thing by God. People, I'm honored and thankful to God. I'm a pastor teacher. That I get to study this book in the original languages and then teach it. That to me is the highest honor He could give me. I hope you're honored with the gifts that God has given you. But she is specially honored by God. There's only one that's going to get this honor. And so Mary was chosen for this. She was a virgin with Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ was born. But again, she would go on to have other children. So He says in verse 28, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." This statement is said of Gideon and of David and of Asa and of other people in the Bible. And I point that out just so we don't get just too weird about Mary. People, I want to give her a proper place. She's honored by God. This is great. But there's no immaculate here. No sinlessness. She's sinful. And all these things that we all have. Verse 29. "But she was greatly troubled in this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be." Well, you can imagine. We estimate that Mary was probably 14 to 16. So just take a 14-year-old. All of you, we were all 14 once, but sometimes we have to see or be around a 14-year-old to know what it's like. She's about 14 years old. Maybe 13, maybe 15, 16, but in that area. All right? "She was greatly troubled in this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel Gabriel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God, charis, grace, not earned or deserved.'" She didn't earn or deserve this. It's grace. Verse 31. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Zacharias was told the name of his son, John. Now Mary is specifically instructed to name her son Jesus. Hebrew, Joshua, deliverer, savior. Verse 32, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, the Lord God will give him," Jesus, "the throne of his," Jesus, "father, David, over all Israel. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." Now you're 14, 15 years old and you're told this about your son. Your son that you don't even have yet. This is remarkable stuff. By the way, this part of the prophecy is yet to be fulfilled and not be fulfilled until the millennium. Verse 34. "And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' 35. "And the angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you.'" She will be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Now, I know through history, a lot of women have tried to claim this. I have not. No, we did not do anything. Well, I do not know how I got pregnant. It must be a miracle. Must be the water or something. Forget it. This one is real, though. The Holy Spirit fertilized her, causing her to become pregnant. "For that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God." Again, this reveals a great deal about this young lady and her own parents. She knew and understood things about the Holy Spirit. Many Christians today, many Christians don't know much about the Holy Spirit, but she did. Now, before we move on, let me give you a couple of things. One, The sin nature is passed down through the male. With no male involvement, Jesus Christ is born minus a sin nature. Women are carriers of a sin nature. They all have one. Thank you that I didn't get any amens. They all have one. But the man passes it down. Being without a male involved, therefore Jesus is born minus a sin nature. Secondly, by Mary being conceived by the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Three, this produces the hypostatic union, H-Y-P-O-S-T-A-T-I-C, hypostatic union. That is God-man in one person, a mystery. Fourth, time does not allow us to sufficiently cover this, but I would be delinquent if I didn't point this out from our study in Job, the 10 questions of Job. Now, I have it where we turn to it, but let me just read to you. Job 14:14. What is man that he, and remember this is Satan speaking, what is man that he should be pure, or he who is born of a woman that he should be righteous? This is the first book given to us. I love Satan's words here. Born of a woman. Yeah. See, that's nasty to an angel. Angels weren't born. They were created in fullness. We come out in water and have to clean us off and cut the cord and all this kind of stuff. It's not very noble. Born of a woman. You can just hear his indignation. Job 25:4. How then can a man be just with God? How can he be clean who is born of woman? God answers that by the miraculous virgin birth of Mary. That's how. So you'll have, these things just flow through the Bible. That's why I love this book. And the more you see and the more you grasp, wow, look at the criticism of Satan and Job. How can anything good come out of being born of a woman? By that woman being a virgin, impregnated by my spirit, a righteous one will come out of him. And then finally, a fifth one. The ministry of the Holy Spirit during the entire life and death of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is prominent. He is prominent all the way through. Now, we've got a little thing we want to do here, but let's just finish reading this account of the announcement of the birth. Verse 36. And now Gabriel gives her some other information. And behold, even your relative, it's her cousin, Elizabeth, has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. Well, wow. If he can do that to Elizabeth, he's going to do it to me. Verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. Mary knew that her cousin Elizabeth was beyond childbearing, so this has to be a miracle. And if it can happen to Mary, it can happen to her. People, one of the most wonderful miracles in life that God did, with God, nothing is impossible, that you and I are saved, is a miracle of God. Nothing's impossible. I don't deserve it, you? I certainly didn't. But it wasn't impossible for him to save me. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the bondservant of the Lord. Here's one of the reasons this girl was chosen. Humility. Humility. Here is her humility. I don't deserve this. I'm just a slave. Be it done to me according as you spoke. Okay. God never. Let me tell you what's happening here so that you'll see it. When she says, let it be done to me according to your word. People, let me tell you something. God does not go in and just coerce your volition. This is what you're going to do and not do. She consents. This is beautiful to me. It's a beautiful statement. I accept it. And so be it. God doesn't coerce us. When you sin, you choose to. When you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, you choose to. When you study the Word of God, you choose to. No one makes you. Not in the spiritual realm. So this is a beautiful statement by this young girl. Okay, I agree. Let it be done, as you have said. And the angel departed her. It is interesting here that the aged priest, who knew the Old Testament, doubted. Here is a young teenage girl, and she doesn't doubt. She accepts it and moves on. You would think that the aged priest would be the one that would just, hey, okay, I got it. This is great. And this little girl would be the one who would die. Are you kidding? But it's just the opposite. See, well, this young lady simply believes. She does not allow reason. When you get older, you start reasoning through, oh, we can't do that. It's raining. We can't do that. We don't have any money. We can't do that. You get older, you get reasoning. When you're young, okay, God, whatever you say. I'm not going to answer that. Okay. So, Gabriel announces, point one, Gabriel announces to Zacharias and Elizabeth, they're going to have a son, John. Two, in the order of the chronology, Gabriel goes to Mary and announces that she will be pregnant and bring forth a son named Jesus. Now, we'll continue with the point three, and I'm kind of glad because that's next Sunday we'll be at the birth. And it's Christmas morning, and we'll cover the actual birth. But people, we have so many interesting things. He is from Nazareth. He is from Bethlehem. He is from Egypt. How can that be? I'm from Hollywood, California. That's it. He's from these three different faraway places. See? How can that be? And how did it come about? We have a lot of things we want to get in chronological order in the birth of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's close. We've got to have a presentation. Presentation? Okay, come on. Good.
Neat skit the kids are doing, a couple of twists on the traditional Christmas skit that most of y'all have probably seen. This is the skit that the kids did last week for the VBS at the Plano Apartments. A few different casts, some cast changes happened. Some angels became wise men and wise men became, anyway, it all worked out exactly how it's supposed to work out. And we don't have a lot of room up here and the kids know that, but the really special thing is the kids last week got to be a part of sharing the gospel with children that may or may not have heard it before. Herman's been talking about John 17, the prayer that Jesus prayed, and one part that's been on my heart this week is Jesus said, I do not ask that they be removed from this world. I ask that you protect them from the evil one. So I've had a lot of children on my mind, probably you guys have too, whether your own children you see at youth group or out on the street or your neighbors. We can't keep these kids, we can't protect them from the physical things of this world and the things that they're going to be shown and exposed to and even their own choices, and that's not what we're supposed to do. God said, glorify me and spread the word, spread the gospel. That's how they're going to be protected. And that was the same prayer that Jesus prayed for all of us. So just listen this morning and listen to the kids as they share with you. Kind of a fun skit this morning. At the end, we're all going to sing Away in a Manger. So when we started, if everybody would just rise and sing Away in a Manger with us, and the words will be up on the wall. So thank you very much.
gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all your people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in the cloth and laying in the manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to the God, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace those on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing has happened, what the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and their baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread word quickly what had been told them about this child. And all who had heard it, amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, offering praise to God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time,
have you heard the true meaning of Christmas? You mean it's not about snow, strings, and presents?
I think I've heard of this before, something about a baby born in Jesus born in Bethlehem.
Yes, he was the ultimate gift to mankind from God, born so that he could die to save us from our sin. I'm not sure that he could love me. My heart's too size too small.
Well, me either. I'm not perfect, and sometimes I know.
Yeah, me either. I just know that those and everyone did this for me. I doubt you want me.
Hello, friends. Are you here to worship baby Jesus?
I would love to meet baby Jesus, but I've done so many awful things. I took away Christmas from the entire village. I do not think he would want me.
When Jesus grows up one day, he will meet a man named Zacchaeus. He's a tax collector and was very wealthy. The people in Jericho did not like Zacchaeus because he took more money from them than what they were supposed to pay in taxes. However, Jesus spotted him in a tree and went to his house. Jesus spoke with him, and Zacchaeus gave half of his possessions to the poor and paid back all those he cheated on taxes 4 times the amount owed. Zacchaeus believed Jesus was the Son of God and could forgive him his sins that day. His life was forever changed. Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither in the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor the height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
I am sorry, I want Jesus to be my Savior.
Then let's go and worship our King.
I would like to go worship baby Jesus, but what if I know? Just because your body is God does not separate you from Jesus. There was a terrible disease long ago called leprosy. If you ever had leprosy, you were put in a special place outside the city. You know what? This baby Jesus will one day go into the home of a man named Simon the leper to visit with his good friend, Lazarus. The Bible tells us God created our bodies just the way he wants them to be. Psalms 139:13-14. When you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Frosty, you are God's creation. He wants you to be just the way you are.
So let your parents find out.
Let's go and worship our King.
Rudolph, are you ready to go and worship baby Jesus?
Everyone always makes fun of me, and they didn't want to see me in any other game. Why would they have fun?
One day, Jesus will choose 12 and 8 disciples. You will travel to many places.
Thank you. Frank, that's kind of a big... Make sure your face is showing.